Yo, we are back with another installment of the Ishiological Podcast. This is episode 5 of season 2. We keep going strong. Today I have a very special episode planned. We're going to talk about music, sports, and movies and film. So for the first section of this podcast, we're going to discuss Brent Faiyaz and his new single, Gravity, featuring Tyler, the Creator. He collabed with DJ Dahi for that one, so we're going to discuss that for music and his recent music releases. With his song Dead Man Walking and his feature on 2 Chainz' album with the single Feel Away with him and Kanye West. So we're going to talk about that. For NBA and NFL talk, we're going to discuss Deshaun Watson in a trade and what teams could potentially go for Deshaun Watson in a trade, because we just seen Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford get traded for each other. So, you know, if that's happening, then I want to see what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, he pretty much made it clear he wants out of Houston. He recently just signed that big contract, but, you know, Houston did like terrible last season and they didn't exceed expectations. So there's that. And for NBA talk, I'm going to discuss whether I think the Milwaukee Bucks, can win an NBA championship under Giannis. And for the last section of this podcast, I'm going to discuss some of my top HBO Max films coming this year in 2021. We have a few films on this list that I'm excited for. I'm happy that I subscribed to HBO Max when I did, so now I can just get ready to stream all these movies when they drop. I'm sorry, and get ready. If you want to buy some of my merch, the link will be in the description of this podcast. If you want to support any of my music, the links for that will be down there as well. You can follow me on social media at IssueHigh, that's IssueHigh. And the same for Twitter. And if you want to follow this podcast page, follow Ishiological Podcast. It's just one word on Instagram. And for Twitter, follow Ishiological Pod. Without further ado, let's get started. So Brent Faiyaz has pretty much been on a tear for the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I first started listening to him when I heard him on the hook of the song Crew by Goldlink that was on his album. I pretty much considered that song his because his hook was so catchy and his vocals were amazing. I never heard an artist sing like that. Like, he has a unique voice, and it was like a voice that I've been looking for in R&B type music and, you know, shit like that for the longest, because I haven't really had an artist who sounded like him. His voice is so unique and his delivery is just dope. His lyrics are explicit as hell, but his voice is so angelic. So it's just amazing. When I first started listening to him, in 2017, he dropped his debut project, Sondra's Son. My favorite track on there is Talk to You, but he also had the interlude on there was pretty nice. Basically, that project, I listened to it front to back about a couple months ago, and it just has no bad songs. And it just goes to show Brent Faiyaz's ability to, his pen game is crazy. And I say this about a lot of artists, but his pen game is crazy because his voice is so light, so beautiful and nice, but his lyrics are so explicit, which is kind of like The Weeknd. The Weeknd has those explicit lyrics, but his voice is just, he has a high-pitched voice when he's singing, and his vocals are dope. So Brent Faiyaz, you could consider him the same like that, because his lyrics are pretty explicit. It's crazy. He's talking about some crazy shit in his lyrics, and his vocals are dope. But he dropped Sondra's Son in 2017. Before that, he dropped, I believe, AM Paradox, an EP. He dropped a few EPs. He dropped the Lost EP, I believe it was called. Yeah, well, my favorite track on there, Target on My Chest. The electric guitar on that song just goes fucking insane. As you can see, I'm a very big Brent Faiyaz fan. He's a very talented artist. But I really wanted to dive into his new song that he recently released, like about a couple days ago at the time of this podcast, at the time of this recording, Gravity, featuring Tyler, the Creator, with him and DJ Dahi. This song is beautiful and it's amazing. It's very uplifting when I first heard it. I like the hook on it. Brent Faiyaz, his hook on that is pretty catchy. And the lyrics is very uplifting as well. And, you know, normally when Brent Faiyaz is making music, his music is more about the insecurities that, you know, we face when dealing with relationships and the public for him, because he's a celebrity. And his lyrics dives into his insecurities and his vulnerability. His vulnerability is like shown in his music so much. But with this song, you still get that, you know, that sense of he's not perfect. And, you know, he has his vulnerability, his insecurities and all this, the stuff that we go through as humans. But it's very uplifting. It's like optimistic. It's like, okay, I'm going through this, but it's not the end of the world. And as I previously stated, I like the hook. His lyrics are dope. I think his whole, the third verse with him and Tyler, the Creator, just rapping about space, it's just fucking dope. This is the third verse from, with him and Tyler. Yeah, see, I'm a star. Look at me from afar. Hard to be down to earth when you nesting on Mars. You comment on how I move. Too much space to assume. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Shit, now when I'm gone and I roam around the globe for 3 months, that's too long without something that's sweet. So by phone, little treats, that's a snack, not a feast. They don't mean much to me because I know that I have a bakery back at home. Am I wrong for? Not right there, I'm not going to lie. It's a short verse. It's not like one of the longer verses, like Brent's verse for the first verse. But the second and third verse are shorter. Nonetheless, still a good verse, and I like the whole space aspect and comparing shit to space, which is cool. You know, Tyler, Creator, dropped an amazing project with Igor. Some people consider it his best project. Me, along with many people I talk to, consider Flower Boy's best project, but I think Igor is his most, like, sonically and as far as theme, that's probably his best project. But you can consider all Tyler, the Creator's albums thematic albums, and he has different personas with each album. Like Goblin, from Goblin to I Say Cherry Bomb is a little more on the edgy side, but with Flower Boy and Igor, it's like more, it's like he's transforming his persona into a more sensitive, and it's like, you know, you see his insecurities and shit like that, and his vulnerability. Because we don't really get that from Tyler. And Tyler really raps about intimate shit, like being in relationships and dealing with heartbreak and dealing with the feelings that, you know, us young men face and shit like that. So, you know, Flower Boy and Igor, like, are the perfect representations of him just, like, diving deeper into, you know, his feelings and shit like that. I feel like we don't really get that with the first couple projects in his discography because they're more edgy and it's more of him just doing turn up shit and having fun. But then again, you know, I could be wrong. But yeah, Tyler, the Creator's verse on space on this song Gravity was cool, being that the song is called Gravity. The cover art on it looks amazing. Everybody's been liking this song recently. I like it as well. It's pretty cool. It was written by Steve Lacy, who's actually on guitar and bass for that song. And yeah, it's a dope song. And I guess DJ Dahi helped with some writing credits as well. But that whole verse with Tyler, the Creator and Brent Faiyaz was cool. The hook is catchy. And I'm sorry, Brent's lyrics are, you know, very uplifting. And this song just, it motivates me, to be honest with you. It just motivates me to just stop worrying about the BS and just do what I love to do, have fun, and take it one day at a time. So, shout out to Brent Faiyaz, Tyler, Creator, DJ Dahi, and everyone who worked on this song. I love it. Looking forward to Brent Faiyaz's album, because apparently he's working on his next album. So, I'm hype about that. Yeah, it's going to be dope. He's probably one of my favorite artists. Yeah, I'm looking forward to his next project. But I also wanted to take this time to dive into Dead Man Walking, which was a song he released prior to Gravity. Definitely an uplifting song as well. I say Gravity is more uplifting than Dead Man Walking, but Dead Man Walking is very uplifting. As a matter of fact, Dead Man Walking is probably more uplifting, but Gravity is more, I don't know, it just resonates with me as well. So, you know, I'll put them on an equal playing field. Dead Man Walking and Gravity are very both uplifting songs by Brent, but I'll give that slight edge to Dead Man Walking. What the hell am I saying? Yeah, basically him saying you can do what you wanna, spend what you wanna, be who you wanna be. Like, that whole theme is just fire. And I talked about this with Stikes on the Savant podcast about us, and, you know, we talked about that song, and he put it on his Sad Boy Fall Season 2 set of playlists. Me and him started that podcast months ago before it actually launched. So us just, you know, going over that song and the whole idea of being who we want to be and just doing what we love is just fun, and that's uplifting as well. And Brent Faiyaz has a trend of being very uplifting. He has a lot of songs like that where he just, where you see the good heart that he has, but he also has those songs where his lyrics are explicit as hell and he's talking about the shit that's hard for us to talk about. He's like basically singing, or you know, even rapping about the stuff that a lot of us go through, and it's just perfect that we got that representation with him. And he also was on 2 Chainz' album, So Help Me God, I believe. And he was on a track, Feel Away, with him and Kanye West. That song goes hard. The production on that goes fucking insane. I like that beat. 2 Chainz has a habit of having a lot of... Not a habit, because habit sounds like a bad thing. He has a trend of having a lot of dope production on his projects. A lot of that was shown on his project prior to the So Help Me God on Rapper Go to the League. A lot of those songs had great production. And that's probably my favorite 2 Chainz project as of now. Even though he dropped a lot of classics early on, that's my favorite current 2 Chainz project. But So Help Me God is dope as well. He's got some good features on it. But Brent Faiyaz on Feel Away just goes dope. His vocals are amazing. Kanye West's verse is very, very turned up and just hype. Basically explaining how people are slaves and they don't even know that we would, you know, how, you know, he said we would be able to free them all if they only knew that they were slaves. So him just going crazy and being Kanye West, new Kanye, is just dope. And 2 Chainz just goes dope as well. Now, I just love to see the collaborations on that project, as well as just Brent Faiyaz. He's been lighting it up. He's dropped numerous good projects. I don't think he has one bad project. He's dropped numerous good projects, which were expected. I wasn't expecting him to drop anything bad, because he's a talented artist. I'm sorry. He's been dropping good projects. He just recently dropped Fuck the World. That's his latest project. His EPs are dope. Projects are dope. His pen game is crazy. Lyrics are explicit. Vocals are amazing. His collabs are dope, and his production on each of his projects is just so beautiful. So I just had to talk about him for this music section of the podcast. Nonetheless, very talented artist. Looking forward to his next project. And who knows, maybe one day I'll collab with him when my music finally takes off the way it is, the way it will soon. I'm sorry. So, yeah, that's basically the music section of the podcast. And now we're going to transition into the NBA NFL talk for the sports talk. I'll be back with you in just a second. If you want to help support me and buy some merch from my print-on-demand store, the link will be in the description of this episode of the podcast. A lot of the merch there is supporting my upcoming album, Blue Perfect. That's coming out April 28th, 2021. So be on the lookout for that, man. I had very fun with that. I had a lot of fun with that project. As far as the merch, we have t-shirts, some hoodies, some stickers. So, you know, copy something nice and show some support. Everything is appreciated as an independent artist and doing a lot of this stuff by myself. It's definitely hard, but I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to continue to do what I love to do. So everyone who streams my music, I just wanted to take this little section of the podcast to thank you, as well as promote my merch. If you want to cop that and support, that would be very much appreciated. And if you want to donate, the links will be in the description for my YouTube channel. So go subscribe to that, Issue High. That's my official artist channel. And you can also donate any amount is appreciated on my SoundCloud, which is Issue High as well. So thank you for the constant support on my singles, for everyone who supports and everyone who just motivates me. I really appreciate it. That's love. And we're going to transition into this sports section of the podcast. So let's go. So pretty much we may be seeing Deshaun Watson get traded to another team this offseason. He made it clear that he wants out of Houston, I believe. I just wanted to discuss this section of the podcast to talk about 3 potential teams I think he could end up on, and why I think each team would have a good chance at having him on a team, and the potential impact that he would have if he were to land on any of these teams this offseason. So Deshaun Watson is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He's one of the great quarterbacks in the league. He's in the top tier for me, to be honest with you. I had him on my fantasy team, and he was just, you know, clutch on my fantasy team, although I had a lot of other dog shit, you know, players on my fantasy team, because I had Saquon Barkley as well, but he got injured in his first couple games, and, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. got injured as well, so my fantasy team was terrible. So hopefully next year that's better for me. Deshaun Watson is a franchise quarterback, and we all know that. He passed for 4,823 yards, threw 33 touchdowns, has a 70% completion rate, and only threw 7 interceptions this season, which is clutch. He just recently signed that big contract. There was the video of him crying because, he's happy that he's made it or whatever, his success with his, sports and stuff like that in the NFL, but obviously, Houston they didn't exceed expectations for me this season. Coming into the season, I thought they would be at the top of their conference, if not at least mid-tier at the very least. But obviously, this season was terrible for them, and Deshaun Watson needs to get the hell up out of there if he wants to contend for titles and shit, and he wants to, win championships. I have three teams I think he could potentially land on. I say the Jets, the Miami Dolphins, or the Washington football team as of now until they change their name. With the Jets, they had Sam Darnold, but it was a shit show this season. Sam Darnold, I feel like he's a great quarterback, but he just has a dog shit supporting cast. He has a terrible supporting cast, and they don't help him at all. So I'm pretty much sold on the idea of them letting go of him and moving on. I mean, they could draft a quarterback. They could draft a quarterback because this draft coming up has a lot of great quarterbacks. You got Zach Wilson, you got Trey Lance, you got Mac Jones. You got a bunch of good quarterbacks you could potentially get for the Jets if they want to go that route. They don't necessarily have to go that route though. They could potentially get Deshaun Watson in the trade, and if Deshaun Watson lands on any of these teams that I listed or any other team, the team automatically becomes a contender. But with the Jets, they have a lot of missing pieces on their roster. They just need to rebuild or retool. If they get Deshaun Watson, they just have so many missing pieces. They need so much stuff. But if they could fill out that big gap, which is the quarterback position for the team, and stuff like that, they could start moving forward in the right direction. So for them, I think that the potential that happened is pretty high chance. We just seen Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff get traded. So I really believe that Deshaun Watson is going to get traded this offseason. I mean, if he lands on a Jets, they could start rebuilding throughout him, get some more pieces on a wide receiver end, some more, a better offensive line. So they could just compete and win more football games because the Jets had one of the worst seasons in Jets history, and it was kind of unbelievable. I thought they would at least be an okay team. They were a terrible team. But, nonetheless, I'm looking forward to seeing where Deshaun Watson ends up. If he ends up on this team, his impact would be immediately felt, and they could start moving forward and potentially be a better team. With the Miami Dolphins, now, they had a pretty solid season. They just drafted Tua. In last year's draft, their coach has been doing an amazing job with them. Tua Tagovailoa was under Fitzpatrick's leadership, so he was getting mentored. But a lot of rumors I'm hearing are that they aren't sold on Tua Tagovailoa. And I assume if a Deshaun Watson trade was to go down, he would be involved in that move, putting him on the Houston Texans and letting him develop under their coach. But This probably looks like one of the more likely teams that Deshaun Watson could end up on. I feel like if they put him on this team will go from being a good team or in a slash okay team to be more of a great team because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he deserves to be on a winning team. And I feel like with Miami, they would win a shitload of games, and they would make the playoffs the first year if he was to get put on his team. But, who knows if that happens. But this team could really use Deshaun Watson as the quarterback. If they aren't sold on Tua Tagovailoa, which apparently they aren't. But even if they don't get Deshaun Watson in the trade, Tua Tagovailoa, it was only his rookie season. We've seen flashes of some good things that he can do, and I think he'll develop well, and I think Tua Tagovailoa could be a franchise quarterback. I just, we just need more time with him. I don't really want the Dolphins to just throw him away, but, it's Deshaun Watson then again, and if you could get Deshaun Watson in a trade to transform your team, then you obviously, you make that happen, and you win games, and I think that's what they'll do if a trade comes for Deshaun Watson. But nonetheless, I don't really want them to just let go of Tua Tagovailoa. I want to see what he can do before they let him go. But if you could get Deshaun Watson in a trade, you gotta let Tua Tagovailoa go. Then again, that's how, you know, how I think about it. And with the Washington football team, they pretty much had a rough time with the quarterback position. They drafted Dwayne Haskins. He's done a lot of immature stuff for that organization with the whole social media and going to the strip club without a mask and not being able to perform well on the field. And they moved him to like second or third string quarterback, I believe. Then they put him back in as the first string quarterback. I'm sorry, still couldn't perform, and it was just a shit show. And you know, luckily that whole Washington football team, Dwayne Haskins era is over, and now he's with Pittsburgh under Ben Roethlisberger, which I think is going to be amazing for him. And maybe he could just get that leadership and guidance he needs. He needs a mentor because he, you know, he was the one quarterback on that team without, you know, any experienced quarterbacks, because Alex Smith, I believe, was, you know, dealing with his injury and stuff like that. And just I'm just happy Dwayne Haskins is on a different team, the different atmosphere. I'm sorry, him moving away from the distractions and Washington could potentially help him. I think he's gonna have a great career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He signed that contract with them, but I don't really want to talk about Dwayne Haskins that much. I want to talk about the impact of them getting Deshaun Watson in the trade. But you know, like I just said, they got rid of Dwayne Haskins. Alex Smith, you know, he had the injury. He was, you know, not one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Then they had another quarterback. I forgot his name. You know, obviously not anything special. If they were to get Deshaun Watson in the trade, it would make them better in the playoffs, because they made the playoffs this year. Don't get me wrong, but they would. I feel like if Deshaun Watson was to be put on this team, it would be a guarantee for them to make the playoffs. And on the defensive side, they got Chase Young, who looks like a monster, looks like a beast. So that's dope for them on the defensive side. But just having Deshaun Watson calling the plays for that team will help them in the playoffs and help them throughout the season, because throughout the season, my Giants beat them twice, which was fun for me, but my Giants didn't make the playoffs, so I can't really talk about anything as far as the Washington football team. But if Deshaun Watson was to get on that team, it would just be amazing for them, and he would just go nuts. And those basically are the three teams I could potentially see him getting on. Maybe he could trade it to another team. Maybe he end up on a 49ers or something. Who knows what team he'll end up on? But I do believe a Deshaun Watson trade is happening, because of the whole Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford trade happening a couple days prior to the recording of this episode. And I'm just excited to see where Deshaun Watson ends up, because he deserves to be on a contending team, and the Houston Texans just aren't going to be able to do that for him. Like I previously stated, this man threw around 4,823 yards, 33 touchdowns with a 70% completion percentage, only 7 interceptions. Get this man on the winning team ASAP. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that Deshaun Watson trade. But now we're going to hop into the whole NBA aspect of the sports talk, and we're going to do a little NBA talk. And I really wanted to talk about, you know, Milwaukee Bucks, and what are their chances of winning the NBA championship with Giannis in the current circumstances of that team. At the time of this recording of the podcast, the Milwaukee Bucks are actually 12-8. They're first in the Central Division. You know, the Eastern Conference is looking pretty crazy with that James Harden trade to Brooklyn. They have a three-headed monster with him, Kyrie, and KD. Just looks like a fucking... It's a super team. They're a super team. You got a super team in Brooklyn. I mean, you got Milwaukee, who's at the top in their division or whatever, and I still feel like they have a chance to compete with the Brooklyn Nets. But you also got teams like Boston, Indiana's 11-9, so they look pretty good as of this point of the season. There's a lot of good teams in the East that could potentially, you know, make that playoff spot. I mean, you got the Raptors. I think, you know, although they're 8-12, they could still pick it up and become probably the 4 or 5, or at the lowest 6 seed. I don't see them beating the 7th or 8th seed. You got the Orlando Magic. I believe they'll make playoffs again. Miami Heat will probably be the second best team in the conference. Philadelphia is looking good. They're 15-6. So, you know, with all these good teams in the Eastern Conference, what are the chances of the Milwaukee Bucks making the NBA Finals and possibly winning an NBA championship this season? So, for one, I feel like the few teams I think that the Milwaukee Bucks are better than, I feel like they're better than I feel like they're better than Toronto. They're better than Indiana. they could potentially be better than Boston. I know they had the potential to be better than Boston, but every time they play Boston in a series, it's like they just choke. But now they got some better defensive pieces to surround Giannis. I just also want to discuss, can Giannis develop his shooting ability? His shooting ability, he doesn't have a shooting ability, you know, but he could do everything else. He's athletic. He has that size on him, that amazing wingspan and height. He's strong. He's athletic. He has the passing ability, the speed, the rebound, everything he has but the shooting ability. And I feel like if he developed that jump shot and was able to shoot, he would be the best. He would potentially be the best small forward in the league, or if not, at the very least, the third best small forward in the league under KD and LeBron James. But nonetheless, he's a top player in this league, probably a top five player. I just feel like he needs to develop that shooting ability. But then I looked at a few Bucks games, and I watch highlights from time to time, and Giannis isn't afraid to shoot it if he's open, but a lot of times he misses. And with free throws, I notice he miss a lot of free throws as well. Giannis is averaging 28 points this season. I'm sorry. He's fifth place in scoring with 28 points, seventh in rebounding with 12 rebounds, and 25th in assists with 6 assists. Those are numbers that Giannis drops consistently every season. He consistently drops 20 plus points, around 10 rebounds, and a shitload of assists for a player at his position. And I feel like I don't really feel there's any more excuses in Milwaukee for him to not be able to win a championship. He has Jrue Holiday, probably the best defensive point guard in the league. They recently traded for Bogdan, but that trade didn't go through. But nonetheless, they got Giannis. They got Chris Middleton, who's an amazing backup partner. Not backup. I don't really want to say backup because he's not backup, but a great support. Great support on the scoring and the backup Giannis. They have Dante DiVincenzo, who looks pretty good. They got Pat Connaughton, who's athletic and is serviceable. They got Torrey Craig from, I believe, the Denver Nuggets, who's a solid player. They got DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson. They got a solid supporting cast around Giannis. It's just if Giannis could really develop that shot and just, you know, make it count in the games. Because I noticed in a lot of games, it seems like the Bucks just give up, and Giannis, they don't push themselves hard enough. They got an amazing coach who's been able to coach with Giannis, but you know, maybe his X's and O's game could be a little bit different and potentially better. Nonetheless, it's still a good game plan that they have with having Giannis, you know, giving Giannis the ball in the lower paint and just letting him go to work. He can do that, but I feel like if they develop some different plays and getting their 3-point shooters open, and if Giannis, to be honest with you, if Giannis really just developed that 3-point shot, everything would be better. If they could develop a system where they're getting more of their guys some better looks or whatever, so it just doesn't seem like they're giving up in games, that would be good. But nonetheless, they're above a 500 this season with 600, and they've been doing good. They're on a one-game win streak. I feel like now's really the season to see if Giannis can really do it. He has a better supporting cast than he did last season. He has Jrue Holiday and so many other pieces. So it's just more so, can Giannis lead this Bucks team to a championship? They got Brook Lopez. I forgot to mention Brook Lopez. They got Giannis's brother. Basically, everything is there for the Bucks to just win. It's just a matter of them clutching up when it comes to playoff time. The regular season, they're always great in the regular season. It's just when playoffs come, you know, they tend to just miss out, and we seen that last season. The Boston Celtics whipped their ass, and they I feel like during the regular season they're better than the Bucks, but when it comes playoff time, they just lose that confidence and that motivation. They just need to be better than Boston, because they can be better than Boston, and they have the pieces to do so. So it's just a matter of them doing that, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Bucks do this season. They got a lot of competition with Miami, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Boston. But I feel like they can remain at the top of the league if Giannis continues to have an amazing season that he's having. Another MVP season for sure. Great, amazing pieces. They still have Chris Middleton, who's a bucket getter. Dude can shoot from anywhere on the floor, and he's a great second star to have on a team with Giannis. They got Jrue Holiday, probably the best defensive guard in the league. He could guard the one and the two position, potentially some threes. Giannis can guard the one through five. You know, so they got the pieces. They got Bobby Portis from New York. He could guard the 4 and 5 position pretty solid. Brook Lopez was, you know, he's not the player that he once was in Brooklyn, but he could still get buckets in the post and shoot. That's not going anywhere. I believe they have Robin Lopez on the defensive end with Brook. It's crazy that they got Giannis and his brother, and Brook Lopez and his brother as well. Robin Lopez is a great defensive big. He can get them rebounds and be that big, scary presence that they need in the paint going up on a nightly basis. So pretty much they have no more excuses for them not to win a championship. It's just a matter of them doing that. And they, you know, they beat the Trailblazers last game, 134-106. So the regular season is not an issue for them. It's just a matter of can they clutch up when it's time for them to. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Bucks do this season. I already know the regular season is going to be cool for them, but it's just playoff time. And they need to clutch up. And it's time for them to do what they got to do. And maybe Giannis could lead this team to a championship. I don't think so myself, but they have all the pieces to do so. And they got a good squad, a good supporting cast, as well as Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Jrue Holiday leading the pack. Chris Middleton is averaging 22 points per game. Jrue Holiday averaging 16, but still being that great defensive presence for them. They got everything they need. Torrey Craig is a small forward, but he could still be a great ball handler for them. So it's just, can they do it? Can they really clutch up? And once they clutch up in the playoffs and do what they got to do, and we good. You know, they got Mike Budenholzer as a coach. He's probably one of the best coaches in the league. Come on. Giannis could have went to a different team and possibly contended for a championship. He just signed that huge contract, around $27 million, I believe. So, you know, now is the time. Now is really the time for him to just go nuts and potentially win his team a championship. So that was pretty much my NBA talk. That'll conclude the sports section of this podcast. I just wanted to split NBA and NFL talk into two sections, so that way I get everything in each, you know, an episode of the podcast, because I really want to talk about sports, but I don't just want to talk about basketball. I don't want to just talk about football. I want to talk about it as a collective sometimes to get those things together. But now we're going to head to the final section of this podcast, and I'm going to talk about some HBO Max films that I'm looking forward to, man. I just signed that HBO Max subscription, man. It's about to be beautiful. So I'm looking forward to these 2021 releases and shit. And we'll get to you with the last section of the podcast. So HBO Max has been a top streaming service as of now. And they got a pretty big year ahead of them. They're basically going to be dropping a bunch of movies that would have been in the movie theaters first if the pandemic never happened. But what they're doing is they're allowing people to stream the movies as soon as they're released on their streaming service, as well as go to the movie theater if that was an option for you. And that's really beautiful, because I think a lot of people aren't going out to the movies like that anymore, especially with this whole COVID-19 pandemic. So it's just beautiful, and it's probably going to force a lot of other streaming services and companies to do the same thing with companies like Disney Plus or Hulu and Netflix and all these other streaming services that drop movies and stuff. People are going to be like, well, HBO Max allows us to watch this, that, and this, and this, that, and the third when it comes out and is in theaters. Not everybody's going to be going to the theaters like that, so why can't we watch this on your service? So it's kind of going to do one of two things. HBO Max is going to either force those other companies and streaming services to do the same, or the other companies are going to have to, you know, they're going to be forced to do the same thing, or they got to come up with some plan for them to get their movies out or do something, because HBO Max is going to be tearing it up with 2021. They have a lot of Warner Bros. Films I'm looking forward to seeing. And on this list, I put a few that I'm looking forward to streaming once they release. This is in no specific order, but I got Suicide Squad, the James Gunn film. I believe I can't wait to see that. The original Suicide Squad movie was okay. But James Gunn is going to be a part of this Suicide Squad film. It looks like they got new characters from the original one. It looks like it's going to take a completely different route than the original. It looks like it's going to be a mix of being funny and wacky, but at the same time, a shitload of amazing action scenes, because James Gunn just does amazing with that. He started working on a film after he finished the recent Guardians of the Galaxy film that's going to be coming out soon. So I'm looking forward to that. I've seen John Cena, I think, is a part of the cast. So this Suicide Squad film that's coming up looks good. And a lot of DC shows and DC fandom was like a few months back. I'm looking forward to a lot of those DC movies, like Black Adam, potentially the next Shazam movie with the whole Shazam family fighting together. So that's happening. Then we got the Flashpoint film, and he's supposed to be going back in time and seeing Michael Keaton's Batman, who is my favorite Batman, by the way. And speaking of Batman, I'm probably going to do that episode this season as well. Rank my Batman. So, you know, we got Michael Keaton potentially coming back. We got the Robert Pattinson Batman film coming. We got the Snyder Cut of Justice League coming soon. So DC has just been on a tear, man. And they got a lot of great films coming in. I believe they're working on Aquaman 2 as well. So I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, I got Suicide Squad by James Gunn. So I think that's going to be a good film, the new one coming up. James Gunn worked on the original, and the original was okay, but I feel like with this film, James Gunn is just gonna go crazy with this one. I think this one is gonna be much better than the original one, but this reboot is gonna potentially redeem this franchise and this the Suicide Squad films, and potentially, you know, make this brand and stuff much better. You know, we got the Suicide Squad game coming out, I believe, 2022, so that's looking pretty good. And DC as a whole got some good games coming out. We got the Gotham Sirens with Batgirl, I'm sorry, Barbara Gordon, Dick Grayson Nightwing. I believe it's Tim Drake Robin and Jason Todd Red Hood. So I'm looking forward to that game as well. After that, I say Tom and Jerry. The animation on that looks pretty cool. It looks like it's gonna take place in a hotel. So, and we got Chloe Grace Moretz. I don't know how to really say her name like that. I'm sorry. It looks like she's going to be the main human character protagonist in the film. So I'm looking forward to the Tom and Jerry song. The Tom and Jerry film. It looks like it's going to be a great film for children. Let your children just watch it. Have fun. Tom and Jerry are going to be beating the shit out of each other, which is always funny since the original show days. Look, the animation looks similar to the original cartoon, but a much more modernized version of that. So I'm looking forward to that film as well. It looks cute, and it looks like it's going to be a cute film for kids. So potentially I'll, you know, stream that movie on HBO Max. If not, go to the movie theater and take my nephew to go see it. I think he'll love it. He'll enjoy that movie as well. Looking forward to that. Then we got Godzilla vs. Kong. This is probably one of my top five anticipated movies of 2021. I haven't watched the original Godzilla vs. King Kong, like the old film, from like years ago. But this one is looking good. And I'm probably going to stream the original film, the original God vs. Kong, the old one, in a couple days, just to refresh my mind with it. But they look fucking huge. Kong and Godzilla just look so huge, and they're gonna be duking it out. I think Kong is gonna win, because Kong whipped his ass in the original film. But I just think Kong is gonna whip his ass, but Godzilla's gonna put up a fight, and they're just gonna be destroying everything around them. The CGI looks amazing. We got Millie Bobby Brown in the cast. So this movie, it's gonna be crazy, man. I'm just hyped for this film or whatever, Godzilla vs. Kong. Yeah, man. I'm just hyped. We got Millie Bobby Brown a part of this film. So, you know, she was on Stranger Things. She's an amazing actor. It's gonna drop March 31st, 2021. Hopefully I'll be able to stream it. I'm not busy or anything because I want to watch that on HBO Max. I believe it should be dropping on HBO Max. Yeah, I really want to know what everybody else thinks, though. I wonder what everybody else thinks with who's going to win. I got my money on Kong. I think Kong is going to win in the end, but Godzilla is going to put up a great fight. So, you know, we got that. Then next, we got the LeBron James Space Jam film. I'm looking forward to that as well. I remember watching the original Space Jam film with Michael Jordan as a kid a shitload of times. You know, we got the Looney Tunes cast. We got Bugs Bunny. Hopefully, Lola Bunny makes a return in that film as well. And I want to see what LeBron James does in a Space Jam film. Because I've never seen him act in a film like Space Jam. And, you know, a lot of athletes can't really act, to be perfectly honest with you. Remember Kevin Durant in the movie Thunderstruck? His acting was terrible. But I'm looking forward to seeing LeBron James in this Space Jam film. To be honest with you, I would have preferred them use Kyrie Irving or even Blake Griffin for a sequel, but LeBron James nonetheless is not bad or whatever. I want to see what LeBron James could do, and if there'll be any knocks or alludes to Michael Jordan, the original Space Jam. I don't think it'll be better than the original Space Jam, but his costume looks cool. So I'm just happy to see this movie. We got a little teaser trailer on HBO Max with Bugs Bunny in the background and LeBron James. Nothing more than that, but I'm looking forward to seeing this film as well and just potentially, you know, having one of my favorite films of 2021 be released soon. So just a second. Let me find out the release date for that Space Jam film. It drops July 16th. So that's a few months away. So I'm looking forward to that. We got Warner Bros. Got a good lineup of shows coming out, man. So if you aren't subscribed to HBO Max, I definitely think you should subscribe ASAP because they have a bunch of great films coming out, and it's just amazing. Next, I want to talk about Dune. Now, I couldn't sit through the original Dune because I was too distracted, but I am going to watch this one, and I think I'll watch the original Dune in a couple days or a couple weeks soon, so I could just learn about the story, because I never read the Dune novels or seen the original Dune film, but I know it's basically a reboot of the original Dune film with Paul Atreides trying to find the spice and stuff. So I'm going to watch the original film soon, but from the images that we got for this upcoming Dune film just looks good. Their blue eyes look so cute and nice. We got Zendaya in the cast, so, you know, she's an amazing actor, so I already know she's gonna do one hell of a job with that. We got Timothy Chalamet, another amazing actor. Jason Momoa, fresh off those amazing Aquaman films, probably the best films in DC as of now until we get some of the new films, but I think Aquaman is probably one of their best recent films. Oscar Isaac. So we got a great lineup with this cast, and basically the plot is Paul Atreides lands nomadic tribes in a battle to control the desert of planet Arrakis. So I'm going to watch the original soon, but that's probably one of my films that I'm definitely so more excited to watch out of all of these, because it's more to that science fiction genre that I like so much that I feel is underrated with me, because I like a lot of comedy. Horror is okay to me. I don't really care for horror, although I love a good horror movie. Horror movies aren't really at the top of my list. I really like that action and comedy, but science fiction is underrated in my list of genres that I watch, but Dune, I'm definitely looking forward to Dune, and the shots that we got already look amazing. I'm excited to see this film. And pretty much the last film out of all of these films that I'm pretty much excited for, I know I said this wasn't in any order, is the Mortal Kombat 2021 movie. Although I have some concerns because there's a possibility that Johnny Cage may not be making an appearance in this film, which is kind of upsetting for me because I feel like he's one of the main original characters that has been in the majority of the games, if not all of the games, and he's not in this film. And I really feel like the new Cole Young, previously known as Cole Turner, situation is he's basically a washed up MMA fighter, and he has the dragon symbol on him. And he goes to look for Jax, and then they go to find Sonya, and then Raiden is basically protecting all the members who has that dragon symbol on them, and they fight. And it's, I don't know. The screenshots that we got look amazing. The screenshots with McCad Brooks as Jax, he looks dope as Jax. We got the Liu Kang and Kung Lao first look. The CGI with Liu Kang and his fire looks amazing. Kung Lao looks dope. We got Louis Tan as Cole Young, and he's an amazing action star. So I'm excited to see what he can do, although I wish they would have casted him as Johnny Cage rather than this new character, because I don't really know how to feel about that. And I don't really know if the OG Mortal Kombat fans are going to be open to having a new character just come in, a fish out of water story, similar to a Johnny Cage story, but and being a washed up MMA fighter, I don't know how they're going to feel about that. But I'm looking forward to this film, and they said they're gonna get real gory in this film as well. And the screenshots we got look cool. We got the whole Sub-Zero making the ice blade look. That looks amazing. We got Joe Taslim. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm sorry. As Sub-Zero. Yeah, these names I can't pronounce. I'm not gonna even go deep into that. But we have an amazing cast. We got a lot of action stars, good with karate and stuff, and they do a lot of action films. So I like this cast nonetheless. But I just hope Johnny Cage makes an appearance. I mean, we haven't even heard anything about Kitana. So I don't know. Looking forward to it nonetheless. I wish we would have gotten some more characters, I feel, but nonetheless, the characters we got are okay. We got CeCe Strangers, Melina, Chen Han is Shang Tsung, Josh Lawson is Kano, Bax Hong is Kung Lao, Ludi Lin is Liu Kang, Tadanobu Asano is Raiden. So we got a lot of good action stars, but I don't know. I don't really know how to feel about this one. I feel like the film would be good nonetheless, but Johnny Cage, man, that's my favorite fighter in the whole series, man. The whole brand and everything about Mortal Kombat. I was always a Johnny Cage fan since the first Mortal Kombat game I played. But I don't know. I guess Johnny Cage will make an appearance if there's a second film. But damn, they could have. I don't know how to feel about Cole Young, all previously known as Cole Turner. But yeah, that's pretty much my whole film section of this episode of the podcast. Shout out to everyone that's been supporting my music in this podcast as well and has been sharing it on social media. You can follow me on social media at issue_high. I'm sorry. And you can follow this podcast page on Instagram and Twitter at issuelyticalpodcast on Instagram and issuelyticalpod on Twitter. Episode, we're going to finish up this season strong. Next episode, we're going to talk about All-American. We're going to do another 2-episode recap of All-American because I got to stream the recent episode that dropped as of the recording of this podcast today. So I got to go stream that and then the next week's episode so I can give you another 2-episode review for that. Nonetheless, album coming soon. Shout out to Stikes. Shout out to Random Newspaper. Shout out to Anna London. And shout out to Arison at the Hard Knock Podcast. I also hopped on that podcast before the new year. Probably that's my favorite podcast. So shout out to Arison at the Hard Knock Podcast. I'll be on there again sometime soon. And potentially the Stike Savant podcast, the Savant podcast, I'm sorry, I'll be making this return soon for the new year. And yeah, I'm excited. But thank you for streaming this episode of the podcast. Sign up for Anchor if you want to start a podcast. And I guess I'll see you guys next time.